Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimki Center for Wholeness. Ahimki is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimki is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimki Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimki mind management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimki.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimki Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here, I am strong, I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God, I am you. I am healed, I am love, I am great. I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
My one desire, God is my everything. God's everything to me. Yeah, living in the Spirit has set my soul free.
One day while I was its holy face. I am the hand of God everywhere I go. And who I am, matter to the Most High.
Had a revelation? Have you had that inner tapping? Have you had something speak to you? in the deep recesses of your consciousness while you were sleeping. You thought it was just a dream, but the voice said, listen, you are my life. You are my life. You are my hand. You are my love. I need you to let people know who I am in you as you. That is a revelation where you know why you are alive, when you know why you are here, when you know that you are so much more than what you were told and the stories you've made up about yourself by your the qualification, more than the qualifications and all the stuff that you use to prop up yourself, the makeup, the make out and the show out and the breakthroughs, all that is happening, that you're so much more. And when you really strip it all down, oh my God, you literally, yes, oh my God, yes. When you really strip it down, oh my God, oh my goodness. Oh, my goodness, you realize that there is a part of you that is so powerful, so sweet, so loving, yet so simple, not complicated. Just. And it tells you, go forth and multiply. Go forth and multiply the consciousness of truth, of love. It allows you to create God as you, God in you says, listen, we are co-creators and you have the power to create. So the stories you've made up, you get to give it a meaning. All of it doesn't have meaning. It's meaningless. Because if everything that is created, everything that happens, the symbols has a meaning, then you're not creating anything. Just like a canvas, it's blank. You get to create. I had a revelation. And yes, once you catch that revelation, you're going to have to break down some stuff. Sometimes something will start breaking down without your control. It's like, wait, hold on. Wait, I got to put my belt on. Ow, don't pull it off. Wait, I want to stay warm. Too late. And then sometimes that revelation tells you it's up to you to take the cloak off. It's time for you to be seen. It's time for you to be revealed. It's time for you to tell the story. It's time for you to embrace your story from the past and your story now. I had a revelation. Yes, I did. Sure did. Yep. the Agape Choir. To find out more about them, their website address is agapelive.com. AgapeLive.com. What a beautiful day it is. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and where change is inspired, and you make a difference. You are part of the difference right now. Every thought you're thinking is creating a vibration on the planet. Everything you're feeling is sending something forth. You're part of the master plan. You're part of the divine plan. So you may want to be careful about what you're thinking, because it is creating on some level. And together we create this world. So much I can say about that, but let's keep going for now. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. I am your host, your naughty professor, the metaphysical rebel. Call me what you will, Life Coach at a. And I'm grateful to be here. Thank you all for being here. Those of you on the phone line, Celeste's in the house, Tanya's in the house, got numbers we don't recognize. We have guests listening because they heard their sister friend is going to be here. They just clicked the link. I'm like, ooh. They got people saying, oh, yes, I want to find out what this is about. We got folks saying, oh, that sounds like a nice topic. Some people have said, I don't even know why I came to listen to this show. As a matter of fact, I don't know if I want to listen to it now. Wherever you are, whatever you're feeling, whatever you're expressing, your soul called you here. So even if you stop listening now, your soul said, it's enough for now. but sometimes we have the free will to resist what your soul is leading you to do. So I let you and your soul work it out. Ooh, spiritual awakening. That is what it's about. If you don't wake up, you're going to sleep through the whole process of evolution. But the good thing about it is you just came to come back and live it all out. And then one day you'll be like, where did everybody go? There'd be no human beings on the planet. There'd be trees and all kind of other creatures. But you'd be the only one with two legs. Like, I feel alone. Can you imagine? I know all is well. Everything is happening just as it should. So even if you're the only one left on the planet, so be it. That's because you're supposed to be here, hang out with the new creatures, the high vibration. Okay, don't go too deep. Come back. Don't lose them yet. Did you know? Don't do it. Don't do it. Let me bring on Celeste. Let me bring on Celeste because, I don't know. I may just go there, but I won't. I'm just feeling all kind of stuff, and I'm grateful, of course. In America, we're celebrating Black History Month. African-American history. There's so much I would say about that after the announcement. And wherever we are, wherever you are, recognize that your life is sacred. And when you can see your life as being sacred, you can honor and celebrate those who came before you, regardless of race. And here, check this out. Because if you can't celebrate other races, you know, wherever they're from, you say, well, you know what you say. If you can't celebrate differences, you can't know and appreciate unity. So even when you try and put everybody in one box, right, let's just squeeze everybody in one box. We just belong in one box. Nah. You could do that, but make sure you see the differences. Make sure you're looking at life from a broader perspective. And ask yourself, how did you get here? How did we get here? And then you get to honor it all. You get to honor the stories of the past, the good, the bad, the ugly. You get to honor the oppressed and the oppressor that lives in each and every one of us. That's right. Because Black History Month is really about celebrating the lives of African Americans. It's about celebrating the Africans who were brought here, enslaved. It's about honoring their lives, you know, for all they did. The one who served, the one who gave literally blood and sweat, the ones who ran to survive, the one who fought, the ones who were stripped of their humanity, the ones who had to make tough choices, the ones who has to, if you will, snitch to survive, the ones who stayed loyal, the ones who worked on the field, and the ones who made it to the house. Just hear me here. Because we are all part of this fabric called life. There are those who did what they needed to do. They took their own life, they ran. Whatever they did, all of it belongs. And until we are ready to honor that and acknowledge that, we're all going to be in pain. That's right, all. I don't care how metaphysical you are. Well, I got mine. Yeah, good luck on that. Because there's really no my life, my love. There's only one life, and it's called God. Whatever name you want to call it, the divine, the creator. It's one life moving through each and every one of us. So if you want to be free, wherever you're from in the world, in the planet, whatever race you are, celebrate the history of the African Americans, of the black people in the world, in America. Because everything that happened, no matter how horrible, as I said before, has created today. It has made us who we are. And don't let's talk. Okay, that's good. I'll let that work. Don't let's talk about the soul experience. Some people are still in bondage because their soul, the memory of their ancestors still live in today, but they just not listening to the call. Anyway, it is time to bring on Celeste because I got my sister Veronica in the house. And I say yes to the perfect unfoldment of this show. I trust the process. I know that Veronica is perfect for this conversation. She's here to support all of us to move from revolution to evolution, to start revolting in our own lives, with our own family members, with our own neighbors, and we can evolve. I trust that you listeners are participating in this global conversation where we are growing together and forgiving each other. Celeste, I'm about to come to you because you know how I do. I'm giving you a warning. I don't usually warn you, but anyway, here you go. Hey, Celeste, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm right on time for this conversation. All is well, and you are so full of fire. I'm going to do a quick announcement today so that you and Veronica can jump into this powerful conversation. Hello to you, Life Coach Today, and hello, family. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach Day radio show. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of all the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Day radio show and LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find Life Coach Day right here from Monday through Wednesday from 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss some live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach a Day. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so Life Coach a Day and Veronica can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure to press 1. Now, if you can't call in, post your questions on the Ask Life Coach a Day fan like page. Please be sure to create a new posting. We want to make sure we get to you. Now, if you don't do Facebook or you can't get on Facebook, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. Hover on the Life Conversations radio menu, then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach Today button and fill in the email. You can also join me around 1 for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day on the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. Also, you can email Life Coach Day any time of the day, and he will answer your questions on the air. The email address is ask@lifecoachday.com. The theme for the month of February is Loving What Is, and we have wonderful guests coming up that will shift you one conversation at a time. We have Carl Stutna, esteemed photographer, joining us tomorrow for Click, Choosing Love One Frame at a Time. We also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network. Feel free to go to LifeConversationsMedia.com to learn about the play experience with Mbasa Safera on Thursdays at 7 p.m., Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today, which airs on the last Wednesday of the month. And then there's me, the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan, every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern. You also have another place to find Life Coach Today and myself. Donna DeLuca and Tara Antler are putting on the Living Abundance Summit. And you can find Life Coach Today on Thursday, February 7th at 12 p.m. Eastern. He'll be discussing how you can resource with Source. I'll be there on Saturday, February 9th, taking you on an elemental journey to abundance with the number 8. For more information, go to http://bit.ly/resource with source, and it will take you to the site. I'll be sure to put that link in the chat room so you can see it. Also, the Ask Life Coach Day radio show is syndicated on Within Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to inspirebroadcasting.com. Finally, you have an opportunity to contribute to the Ask Life Coach Day radio show. Go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, then hover. Don't click on the Life Conversations radio menu. Then click the Ask Life Coach Today drop-down menu, and you will see a donate button on the right-hand side. No amount is too small, and we thank you for being a blessing. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach Today.
Woo! She goes, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome back. No, I got to do it in your voice. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome back the Life Coach. Nah, I'm still working in your voice. I'm gonna get it. But in the meantime,
I have faith in you. Get back to work.
I stick to. But if I start talking like you, that's gonna be a problem for me. I need to just stop. Let me be okay with mine. All right. Thank you, Celeste.
My pleasure. See you later.
Bye. Oh wow. Yes. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show on lifeconversationsradio.com. We welcome all of you in the chat room, those of you on the phone lines, those of you listening on the archive. Thank you. And we welcome those of you, the within radio listeners. Thank you for being part of this conversation. Thank you for being willing to grow and transform. Let's read a little something about Veronica, who is so much more. And her bio is a little bit on the muddy side. Well, a little bit on the muddy side, very muddy. But, you know, when she starts talking, when she starts sharing, you will hear. But I'm going to do a few minutes, a few seconds of this, because, I mean, come on. We're celebrating those who came before us, and we got to welcome them, because we want to let our ancestors know that all is truly well, and we welcome them to this conversation. Let me pull up the bio. While you hear a little bit of the drum. Actually, I'm going to have it in the background. Woo! Work it. Stop it. Do the show, man. All right, you are immortal. That's lovely. Thank you. I just have you underneath me. You are immortal. You can find out more about them by going to kiwaiimata.org, GIWAYENMATA.org. Did you miss that? I can't help you. So here we go. Let me read a little bit about Veronica, and I can't wait to share. Veronica was here last year, and oh my God, just the energy. I'm so grateful to have her back. So, she's a certified professional co-active coach. I'm going to rush into this as I read a bio. Veronica is a successful entrepreneur and founder of three coaching companies, including the Black Professional Coaches Alliance. Woohoo! You see me dancing? Oh, sorry, I turned off the webcam. Veronica is a certified coach as well as a certified hypnotherapist, a master certified NLP practitioner. She is a master business and financial coach and certified mentor. Talk about evolution. She came here with a mission. She graduated from the University of California, Berkeley, and she currently resides in North Carolina with her daughter, Jordan, and her son, Jake. We're welcoming Veronica Conway now. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my sister, my friend, myself, Veronica Conway. Veronica, how are you doing?
Hello, Life Coach Today. Good morning. Good morning where I am in the world. I'm in California. Thank you. I always love the energy that you and Celeste bring to the space. So it's an honor to be here.
Thank you. And thank you for adding to that energy now. Woof, we're about to serve up some soul food. You better line up. Line up and get you some.
That's great. I love that. I'm happy to be here.
Yes, I am grateful that we can actually have you for the first show of this month in February. And because your story is fascinating. And I just love your spirit. I mean, it's not like we talk every day. I mean, we don't talk. I mean, we talk through the virtual world.
and last year, and I just so enjoyed your spirit. Your spirit was so, I mean, it was, you know, it's like, I always say, if you try and define love or God, then you limit the experience. And I don't know if there's a way to describe you, because your spirit, your essence is beyond description, and people just need to feel it. And I'm so grateful that, you know, the plan worked out, that you came here for the first show in February, for me anyway.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. So, you ready to go where none of us have gone before? Because that's what we do.
that's how we do, huh?
That's right.
That's how we do. I am ready. It's, you know, I love what you said earlier about Black History Month and sort of honoring those that came before us and honoring the ancestors. I think it's more important today than ever to, especially for the African in America, to understand who you are, because I think sort of the forces that we're up against in a certain way. I mean, you saw it with, like, the president, right, and his reelection. I mean, there are some forces out here that would want us in a different position, and so we have to be very clear about who we are, very clear about our identity, I think, if we are to prevail and to really thrive in this society.
Indeed. Evolution is about waking up, staying awake, and your eyes wide open.
That's right.
It's not something that just happens for spiritual people. And spirituality actually means you open up and wake up and look at what is happening. And and then, you know, how you go about that waking up process is what makes the difference. So, you know, you talked about identity, and that's some of the things I want to touch on. But I want to kind of ask you this question first, because when you talk about identity, I think that's the most important thing for each and every one of us. And I usually break down identity as the, I, you know, when they said you have an ID, and you
right.
got ID.
Yeah.
Exactly. You got the ID, and you got the ID, you got the entity. So for me, it's like, what is the identification of the entity called you? So for me, when looking that way, say, what is my identity? I'm an entity. I'm so much more. But how do I identify myself? How does the world identify me? But I want to ask you this question, which is all linked to the identity called you. Who are you? Who is Veronica Conway?
it's a simple question, and it's a complex question. I'm going to give some context. I'm going to tell a little bit about my background, so that people can have sort of a context for how I came to be where I am and do what I do. And I just want to make sure, can you hear me clearly? I'm on a cell phone, but okay, great. So we talked about this a little bit on the last show that we did, but I just want to give some context, and I want to give this background in the context of my identity and why I was born to do the work that I do in the world. Because I think that our story and our narrative, the narrative of our lives, if we have the courage to go back and reexamine it and put it into right context, then we discover our right work in the world. Right, we come to our right work in the world. So, you know, when I was only 5 years old, my mother put me in a bathtub, and she put me in this bathtub not because she was going to give me a bath. She put me in this bathtub because my household, the collective that I was living in, was about to go into a showdown, a gun showdown with the people outside. And she didn't want me to be hit by bullets. And so the bathtub was the only safe space in our environment. And so, you know, I was born the child of a former Black Panther. And people may not understand, but the Second Civil War in this country really happened when the police went to war with Black people. You know, it's a lot of mythology about who the Black Panthers were. What people don't understand is that they were protecting our community, because the police were doing whatever they wanted to, sort of like, you know, worse than stand your ground laws, but back in the 60s, 60s and 70s. They were coming into our communities and doing whatever they wanted to. And so the Black Panthers took up arms to protect, to police the police in our communities. And but they got depicted as sort of these, you know, warriors and dangerous people, and they still get branded that way today. But they were really about protecting our community from and they decided to take up arms to do so. They also provided, you know, breakfast for children. They did a lot of meaningful work in the community, and people don't always understand that context. So we were at war. That was the second Civil War in our country, and I'm a child of that war. So before age 7, I mean, I attended school under an alias. I experienced death threats against my life. I witnessed shootouts with the police and other people. And so my father went to prison when I was 7, and he's serving a life sentence today because of the ongoing sort of unspoken war that it still exists with the government and that part of the community. So, but something really interesting happened when my dad went to prison, because even though my mother tried to, as much as she could, to normalize my life after his arrest, and she did, she really tried to recover and normalize our life, and it was pretty traumatic. We had gone through a lot of very dangerous and sort of terrifying times. But I did see my father live like a free man, even though he was incarcerated. Mm. And I saw so many people that walked around that were supposed allegedly free, and I saw that they lived as though they were incarcerated, like they were living incarcerated lives. So I began to ask the question, what's the difference that makes the difference? Is freedom a function of choice, or is it a function of your circumstances? Right, so you can ask Nelson Mandela that. Right? Was his freedom, his mental freedom, was it a function of his circumstances, or was it a function of his decision? And I always tell my dad that when he gets out of prison, he should run for president, like Mandela did. But I've studied freedom. I've studied freedom my entire life, and so I have a deep, intimate relationship with freedom, and I have a deep, intimate relationship with its opposite. Right, I'm closer to those words really than anybody I know. Mm. Right, so. When you ask who I am, I would say that there's a position in our community that's vacant. So I decided to step into it with my kids, with my business, with the impact. And I'm talking about pure freedom. Like, how do you get to freedom? Not the freedom you think you have, but I'm talking about real freedom, right? Mm-hmm. What makes people free? What keeps people incarcerated? And I think that incarceration is really the prison that has to do with the limitations that you accept as real. The limitations that you accept as real. And so I'm taking a stand to right the ship in our on our planet for freedom because of my deep relationship with it.
Wow, there's just so much in there. That whole idea of the limitations that we accept that as real.
Yes.
And how to move beyond that. And even when we say the limitation that we accept is real, and what about the limitations that we don't even know we've accepted is real, and we're just living
Absolutely.
Out the limitations, and we don't even know it. It's like what you don't know, you don't know. You don't know
mm-hmm.
it, and you don't even know that you don't know. And so you kind of walk around clueless. And, so clearly it's easy to sum up that you are freedom in action, right?
Yeah, I've never thought of it that way, but yes, freedom in action is a great
mm.
because really I've dedicated my life to understanding that which incarcerates us and that which sets us free. I really have studied that with all my clients and with all my people and with my it is what I embody because I'm always a deep listening for that state. And I can always tell, you know, when people are in sort of an incarcerated state, and you can hear it in their language, versus when they're in a state of freedom. And when I say freedom, I mean freedom to create that which you are meant to create,
right.
freedom to
right.
live the purpose that you're meant to have. We all have one, right? And and how connected we are to it, or far away we are from it, really has to do with the limitations in our mind that we accept as real.
Let's talk about a little bit more about the Black Panther Party for a minute, and then we'll go into the freedom, because, you know, there's so many stories, there's so much that's been written, there's so much you can watch in televisions, and the spins and the no spins and what they represent. Tell us the story about the Black Panther Party, really. And I still think, for me, it's still sort of looked at, depends on where you're standing, but for the most part, they're looked as the people to be afraid of. Can you, from your experience, from your perspective, tell us about the Black Panther Party?
Well, when you think about the times, and we have to really put the Black Panthers in the context of the times, there were sort of two schools of thought, you know. There was the peace movement that had to do with Martin Luther King Jr., Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and then there were those like Malcolm X and the Panthers who decided to be a little bit more radical about it, because what they perceived is that, they said the Black Panther Party, political power is born out of the barrel of a gun. Because what they perceived, and it, rightly or wrongly, you can, you know, history sort of judges, you know, what has gone before, but they perceived that the forces in this country were not going to give us justice or equality, civil rights, voting rights, you know, without a being met with an equal force that had to do with guns. Rightly or wrongly, and I think it's in many ways it's, you know, to attempt to take on the U.S. government with guns is sort of, in retrospect, it's pretty foolhardy in a certain way. They were outnumbered and outgunned. But these were men, these were black men that were standing up as black men in our community, attempting to protect the children and women in the community from the police that were coming in and doing whatever they wanted to. So it was legal for you to open carry a gun back in those days, just like, you know, sort of in current gun culture, there's a lot of stuff that's happening around gun laws and stuff. But it was legal to open carry, so the Black Panthers took up arms and became a symbol of the protection in our community from the folks that really were not going to, you know, white folks weren't really trying to deal with us. They were doing whatever they wanted to do. And so there were kind of two schools of thought. You either do a peaceful nonviolent movement, which was Martin Luther King, or you show up in a very masculine, assertive posture, and you sort of fight fire with fire. And so there were sort of two schools of thought about it. But the Panthers also did a lot of education in the community. They did a lot of, they had a breakfast for kids program. They had a 10-point party platform that really had to do with the uplift and the empowerment of the community, economic, educational, you know. So they were a powerful force for good because the U.S. government was so threatened by their presence. They did a lot of things to infiltrate the party, you know, the Quantelpro movement, where they had people come in and infiltrate and spy on them and see what they... I mean, they were really considered a threat, enough of one that the government took pretty serious action against them. Hello?
Sorry, I'm here.
I
had myself muted. Okay.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you this, because there's a question that we got. Here it is right here. Let me pull that up. And the question is, are you familiar with a documentary called Bastards of the Party? And the question goes on to say, it states that the Crips and the Bloods are offshoots of the Black Panther Party. And how do you feel about how things have shifted over time?
How do I feel about how things have shifted over time?
I
don't know if the Crips and the Bloods are an offshoot of the Black Panther Party. I don't know that that's been a part of my awareness. I think that what you see, you know, a lot of times in modern, you know, what you see in terms of gang culture and in terms of black, you know, gang culture is, you know, that is the masculine imperative attempting to protect itself and attempting to gain power in an environment where you don't have access in the way that other cultures do necessarily. Well, you don't have, so they decided to take it. And I don't condone or co-sign that. I'm just saying I recognize it for what it is. It's, you know, the masculine imperative attempting to gain power in an environment where there's a relative lack of power. Now, I will say that when I talk about revolution to evolution, you know, my dad was a revolutionary, and I'm more of an evolutionary. In other words, I believe that there are more powerful ways to gain power in this culture.
Right.
It's taken a long time for us to arrive at that. And, you know, to me, evolution is really about outthinking, outsmarting, outperforming. I mean, you look at President Obama and you look at what it's taken for him to, he had to be the best. He had to be 1,000 times better than his competitors, but he won by building a team and, you know, and playing a bigger, badder game than anybody in, you know, anybody in his midst. So I think that that is sort of the new black power. That is the stand that we have to take, is to outthink, out-educate, outperform, you know, he had to outspend everybody. He had to out-technology everybody. And that's the model. That's where we're at.
When you talk about the outdoing, outspending, is that because in order to compensate with the mindset of current society? Because sometimes that can be looked at as doing too much, having to work extra hard more than the normal person. What do you say to that?
I don't know if it's about working harder. I think it's about working more strategically.
Okay.
In other words, so for example, I got my children, I've gotten my children $1 million in private school education for $25,000, right? $1 million in private school education. So that means they've gone to school, some of the top private schools in the world, and they did it pretty much for free. Now, did it take more work? A little bit. It actually took more strategy. It took more strategy. It took having a vision for that. It took deciding they would have that, and I didn't know how I was going to pay for it at the time. I didn't know how I was going to do it at the time. But it took deciding in advance what it would look like, deciding that was going to be their experience, and then moving powerfully towards that. And then as I learned more about the process, developing real strategy around that. So I don't think it's about working harder. I think it's about working smarter and more strategically to create big outcomes.
If you're just joining us, you are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show on lifeconversationsradio.com. My guest is Veronica Conway. She's a certified coach, hypnotherapist, NLP practitioner, and basically, she's freedom in action. You can check out her, you know, ultimately. And that's not just for wimps. You know, you got to make sure that's what you said you came here to do. You can't say, I just like that title, I'm going to use it. Ooh, Lord.
No, no.
Sometimes,
not around here. Not around here. We mean it. We mean it.
That's right. And in order to know freedom, you have to know what it's like to be oppressed. Because, you know, you got to have that contrast. And to find out more about Veronica, her website address is Veronica Conway. Her website address, veronicaconway.com, V-E-R-O-N-I-C-A, Conway, C-O-N-W-A-Y.com. Let's talk about you growing up in that environment. When you talk about being put in a bathtub, not to have a bath, to take a bath, but really to be protected from the raining of bullets. What was it like for you? There's a picture on you on this show page of you rallying at the age of 3. And someone, you know, it's like, what? The cardboard almost, the thing you were holding almost covered you up.
Right.
You can just see your eyes and your afro. So what was it like? Like, I think that's
by
her.
By the way, on that picture, about the other picture, I still look, those that know me say when I get tired or cranky, or I still look like that today. So it's, some things never change.
So when you're tired and cranky, that's when you're saying don't
that's what
mess
I look
with
like.
Me.
Yeah, that's what I look like
don't
that. Like,
mess
why am
with
I here?
Me right now.
Why am I here? Right.
What
so
was it like growing
it like?
Up as a child? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it was traumatic. I mean, you know, I think that, you know, you can be in the jungle in a certain way with predators all around. And, you know, I mean, I had to go to school every day and tell my teachers that my name was Anderson instead of Bauer. So I had to remember that, like, at the age of 5 years old. So, because we were on the run from wore, in fact, to the Black Panther Party. We were on the run from the cops who were kind of underground. And so to have such consequential, things happening around you all the time was a lot there. And there was a real climate of fear because there was always a sense that you were going to get caught or you were going to be put in jail or, you know. And then ultimately when my father went to prison, it was a very, very violent arrest. It was a very high-profile trial. We were getting death threats against my life, so my mother had to move me out of the area because there was so much sort of media attention and so much stuff around his case. He was a real lightning rod for the movement. And so there was a lot of fear. I grew up with a lot of fear, a lot of terror. It's like being at war. And I would say that a great deal of my life work was sort of born out of having to recover from that myself. In other words, my mother put me in therapy at a pretty young age. I had to go to work on healing myself from that wounding and from that terror. For me, in a certain way, it was so... So people live in sort of terrifying situations that may not be as dramatic, so they don't realize how impacted they are by them. You know, we as Black people live in a pretty anti-Black society, and we don't necessarily realize the impact of that consciously. And so I could do a lot of work on my journey just to heal myself, and in that work began to understand how you could heal other people. How you could heal other people from the fear and the trauma and the terror that they had encountered. And so growing up in that environment and then deciding to recover from that environment has actually led me to the work that I do today. But it was pretty terrifying for a little kid. You should be playing with dolls and instead you're at a Black Panther rally with the cops all around, with predators all around.
Wow. You know, and it makes me, you know, even before we even talk about your rites of passage, because usually, you know, we say when young people are age of 18, they're an adult. For me, I say they're not an adult. They're rehearsing what it means to be an adult because they can't come from being a child and suddenly know what it means to be an adult. Mm-hmm. And you had a rite of passage when you took, but I don't want to talk about that yet. I want to talk about before you got to the age of 18, growing up, were you mad at your parents? Were you angry at them? Were you mad at your country? Did you ask yourself, why are we going through this? Or did you just see it as a way? Did you saw what was going as a way of life?
Well, you know, I never... That's a great question. I think I was in survival. So I don't know that I questioned. I knew that it was painful. I don't know that I questioned. And I knew that there were certain aspects of like the choices that my father made that were painful for me. I knew there were choices that my mother made that were painful for me. I don't know if I questioned them per se. I just kind of saw that that's like, that this is the way it is. You know, we're at war with the government. I mean, you know, Black people are fundamentally victims of a pretty oppressive society. But there was a part of me, so I don't know that I fought in conflict. I was just in survival and trying to maintain a sense of normalcy and sanity. And you know, my mom tried to get me back into, you know, dolls and Christmas and doing things that normal kids did. I hadn't had that so early in my life because there was no room for that kind of stuff when I was younger. I don't know that I questioned it. I think as I got older, I did see my father live like a free man. And I observed that, like how that somebody can be incarcerated and still have an identity of a free person. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And so I began to kind of formulate in my mind this whole notion of victim think. And, you know, were people trained inside of sort of their internalized oppression, their internalized victimization, and was that a choice? I did see that, and I thought, wow, could you just choose to be free? Could you just make that as a choice? So, I mean, I certainly have had, because we had such dramatic circumstances, with my parents, I think that we certainly have had sometimes a tumultuous or painful relationship because of some of the choices that they've made. I would say that that's a casualty of war. That's what happens when you are in an environment where you are under siege and you are at war, and you have such large forces gunning against you. I mean, when I realized that, you know, the Fraternal Order of Police and the U.S. Attorney General were actively gunning against my father, it's very daunting to realize that the most powerful legal and military forces of the land are actively advocating against your family. I mean, I just don't know how to explain the level of how daunting that is when you really come into contact with that. We made a documentary about my life story called Daughter of a Panther, Revolution to Evolution, and we were filming my work with the Black Coaches Network and the Black Coaches Alliance, and my dad was supposed to get out of prison in 2004, and we filmed all of it. We had award-winning film crew that filmed all of this, and it was interesting, the film crew, we were flying around the country and they were filming everything, and then he was supposed to get released in 2004 and then he didn't. He didn't get released. And the film crew, I kind of got it. Like, they were sort of daunted by the magnitude of the opposing forces. I sort of was used to it because I was used to visiting prisons. I grew up visiting prisons. I grew up understanding how if they want you and they want you locked up, they're going to have you locked up. And it's daunting, I noticed that it was daunting for other people. It was just the way things were.
Right, because when you are living the experience, whatever it is, when you're living the pain, when you're living the crisis, you have to do what you need to do to survive. You don't even have time to compare it to others and say, it's not as horrible as I think it is, because I don't know if I should be feeling this bad. No, you're trying to stay, you start to stay afloat. So, and it becomes a way of life.
Absolutely.
I already do get that. Maybe later on and through the documentary, you might get to look at it from a different perspective. And even when you say you've been in therapy, you get to see things that you didn't see before. And for me, being able to look at one's life, we talked about identity earlier, from a different perspective, to stand back and almost separate ourselves from the experience and look at it, gives us a new awareness about who we are. You talk about your dad living more as a free man, incarcerated, than others who were so-called free on the outside. How do you define the freedom? And two, what really was the reference point? Were you referencing his freedom based on how you felt because of what you've gone through, or people that are close to you, how they were living their lives?
Yeah. I don't know. It's a mindset. I know freedom when I see it, and it's a mindset. So, I mean, he actually did try to escape. So he really was serious about being free. He tried to escape about 10 years into his sentence, which wasn't the best thing to do, but so he meant it about freedom. I guess what I would say, like, you know, for example, if you go to his website is veronza.org. That's V-E-R-O-N-Z, like zebra, A.org. And
can you say that
again? Yes, veronza.org. V-E-R-O-N-Z, like zebra, A.org. veronza.org. And I've watched him, you know, rally people that are on the outside. He's an international chess champion. He's a shakuhachi flute player. He used to trade poetry with Daniel Ortega's wife, the leader down in, you know, South America. He has a relationship with the king of Tonga. He has done a lot of things. You know, he did a lot of healing he did sort of hands-on energetic work with other inmates that are in there. He's got a lot of respect in the community. So it's like, you know, one of the challenges, you know, that come oftentimes with people that are if you're bringing them out of incarceration, and he's been in for 37 years, so he's been in for a long time, is, you know, they, once they get in there, they become identified with sort of prison culture, and that is an identity. And he just never did that. He's always built community on the outside. He's always had support, and he's always had interesting friends, and he's always so even though he was in that scenario, he lived, like I said, like a free man. And I just, I see people out here, you know, that don't feel as free, that, you know, they don't believe they can have what they want. They don't believe that they can do their purpose. They don't believe that they can make enough money. They don't believe that they can, there's all these I can't, you know. And so I just always saw the contrast. You don't often find that in long-term inmates. They become sort of, you think about the movie The Shawshank Redemption, right? That Andy Dufresne was free inside. He was free inside. And so even though it took a long time for him to get out, his identity was of a free person. He wasn't a prison man. And I just think that's true about my father also.
I'm looking at the website. I'm just like, just blown away. 37 years in prison. I don't have no reference points. So I won't even try and understand it. But, you know, it's so much. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to, you know, continue the conversation and talk about your story, your evolution story. I mean, you've been talking about your mom, but at 18, you discovered a secret. You're like, wait a minute. What? And when we come back, we'll talk more about that. We're going to take a break, and we're taking calls from listeners, 347-426-3346, if you want to join in the conversation. We're taking your questions, your comments, your doubts, your worries, your fears, your disagreement, your disbelief. Bring it all. This is the House of Transformation. This is the House of Love. Our intention is to support you in your transformation so you can experience yourself as who you really are. And actually, when we come back from the break, we're going to have Celestial Moment and then continue the conversation with Veronica Conway. My guest, her website address once again is veronicaconway.com, and her father's website address is veronza.org. That's veronza.com. Or if you're in another country other than America, za.com. So much is bubbling up inside of me. So it's time to take a holy breath and just breathe in and breathe out and say yes to this very moment. 347-426-3346. If you can't call in, you can post your questions, your comments, your thoughts on the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show fan page, like page, and we'll get to it. Please create a different post. Don't post under a post. Stand out. We want to see you. Or you can also post it on the Life Conversations Radio fan page, like page. And, let's take a break. And what are we doing over here, Mr. P. Tuttle?
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Oh, that's a bit too sure. We dare them to live their best life. Some people just want to play small. Well, you know, still, we're daring you to live your best life. If you don't like it, deal with it.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hey folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused, or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up, speak out and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudge nut bars. How many chips in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
That's right. You get to decide, not because someone else said it, not because we're saying it. You get to decide if what you believe is working for you. If you've just allowed yourself to accept limitations, maybe you're actually asleep. You're sleepwalking. You think, I'm free, but I don't know what I'm going to eat. Yes, yes, yes. It's all part of the divine plan. Where you are is where you are, but you must be willing to grow. You must be willing. You got to set the intention for your own transformation. Pay attention not to miss out. We welcome all of you in the chat room, those of you on the phone line. We have the chat room. We have, what's that, Relax? I don't know. Real tea? It's the real tea. I'll go with that. Really tea? I don't know. We have Spiritual Awakening. We have Electra, the Fiery Sisters in the house. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Lady D, silent listeners, this Geister's guest. Those of you listening on the phone line, thank you for being here. We really, truly appreciate you for being part of the conversation because, you know, as quiet as it's kept, we are all co-creating this show. Your energy, your thoughts is just created together. Now, you may think you're just listening to us, but actually you're listening to yourself through us. You know, there's only one of us here. I don't care what you believe or don't believe. I don't care where you stand. We are all one. And if you want to be separated, go ahead. It is impossible because you are an individual. You can't be divided. You're just in denial. So Les Morgan, how are you doing, my friend?
I am excited to be here and to be hearing the personal story of Veronica Conway. There's so much fruit in it for all of us. And you know what? It takes Black history, or if you want to call it African-American history. I'm a child of the 70s, so I'm used to saying Black History Month. It makes it so personal. It's so valuable when we tell our story. So I'm just really grateful to have this conversation. So with that said, I'm going to get to it. I love me. She has a way of saying, you know, just so matter-of-factly, yes, I was put in a bathtub when I was 5.
I know, right?
I'm like, really, Roger? Woo! All right. How chilling, though, to be able to tell the story that way.
Yes, and be able to tell us the story so we can all wait. So I'm really grateful, Veronica. So we're going to do Celestial Moment, and we'll come back to you, Veronica, okay?
All right, here we go. And I'm gifting this to my sister. Good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. Numbers give us information to help us navigate and embrace all that is showing up in our life right now. The energy of the day equals 12. We have 12 signs of the zodiac for Western culture. The 12th sign is Pisces, and it reminds of the gift of sacrifice when we surrender to our higher selves to serve all of humanity. 12 is the porcupine in medicine cards and connects us to childlike joy and innocence. The 12th letter of the alphabet is L, and words like loving, learning, and limitless connect us to the divine power of 12. Now, 12 is the Hanged One in tarot cards. And that's where we're going to put our spotlight, from the perspective of Mother Peace Tarot. In traditional tarot, the Hanged One is a man. The two words that often come up with this card are sacrifice and letting go. We ask, well, what do we have to give up? How about fear, doubt, drama, stress, and self-defeating thoughts? The list goes on. In Mother Peace cards, we find a goddess, Artemis, who is known for her sense of selfhood, hanging by a snake from a cypress tree. Remember, the snake means wisdom. In this tender moment, she wants to get honest, and perhaps this is her life review flashing before her eyes. She is naked in the forest and has decided to surrender her ego, power, to accept the conclusion of a cycle. While emotions may run high during this time, she gives herself the silence to quiet her mind. Something is complete, and she is ready for her new life. Her physical location being upside down shifts her perspective. Once she realizes that there is nothing to fear, and she understands her mission, a light comes forth, resembling a moving halo. The light will continue to guide her path. She trusts it, and finally knows that letting go makes room for expansion in her life. All she has to do is say yes. And that's the story of 12, told through the Hanged One and Mother Peace Tarot. All is well. I'll see you on Tuesday, around 1, for another celestial moment. Thank you.
You sure you weren't reading Veronica's story, the metaphysical version of her story?
Well, and it's so interesting. It's so interesting. My cousin is listening, and she reminded me on this call. Today is my father's birthday, actually.
What?
Oh, happy birthday to Veronica Bowers Jr.
Veronica Bowers Jr. So yeah, so it's all full circle. So thank you for that, Celeste. Beautiful.
How beautiful. Thank you. Please tell your father it's a happy birthday.
Okay.
Okay. I'm gonna go. Y'all just hit me in my heart chakra.
All right, here's some clinics, Celeste. I know you're gonna let it. Just let it flow. Let it flow. Don't hold back. Here's some clinics.
I can show up authentically with my family. Thank you, beautiful people.
Yes, sir. As we celebrate the African American history, the Black history, the human history, the humanities history through Veronica Conway and Veronica Bowers Jr. Wow, I played a song at the beginning of the show. I had a revelation. Well, we understand that we're here for something bigger. Then we get to trust the process of life. Sometimes we get confused. But, I'm loving how it's all coming together and how your father is inspiring us through his life that is living and even through you right now. So thank you, Veronica, for saying yes. to life. Ah, we've covered quite a lot, but there's so much more and there are always going to be more. Now, if you missed the show, if you just joined us, I don't even have time to do a review, but we're talking to Veronica Conway, and the theme, the title of today's show is A Daughter of a Black Panther, Revolution to Evolution, which is a documentary that she's working on, Daughter of a Panther, Revolution to Evolution, and Veronica sharing her story, which really, for listeners, I invite you, if you haven't already, you can observe her story and go, wow, and understand that it's the reflection of the human journey, and you have your revolution. You have things that you had to revolt against. You have your own struggle. And the question is, will you choose to evolve? Will you say yes to life? Will you do what needs to be done so that you can be part of the healing, so every one of us can know what it means to be free? So you don't end up becoming the oppressor that you've been judging, because we all need to be set free. And there's a lot of us going through a lot of – so much is going on in the world. I'm not even going to waste time talking about what we see. I mean, Veronica, you were talking about the current environment. I mean, the Republicans, they were talking about – they were committed to making sure that Barack Obama was a one-term president. They were committed.
Yeah.
Now, people always say – but it reflects sometimes, you know, it's important for us to pay attention and be about your father's, your mother's business. Be about that God's business, that why are you here? So, yes, we can judge and criticize. We got to highlight what is happening and become the answer to what we're seeking. And that's what we're doing. Because we can all gather around and talk about how that's just it's a damn shame. Yeah, it is. But what you going to do about it? I don't know. Then shut up. But anyway.
Right. You got to be about it. Right. In this day and time, you really have to be about it because the terrain has changed. The landscape has changed. We're a global economy. We're competing globally. And so we have to be about that.
There's some questions here. I'm fielding through. Let's see. I don't know if I'm going to go there. I can take the show to a whole different conversation. But anyway, let me go to this one first. It's a question related to the Black Panther Party. And the question is, what would you say to young boys and girls who are learning about Black Panther Party? Are there any tools we can still use before we talk about your...
That's a good question. That's a great question. Well, I mean, I think that... First of all, I think it's important for our youth to know their history and know that they even existed. I think that, like, even my own children, you know, in a certain way, when they were much younger, I tried to protect them a bit from their history because I just didn't, you know, I was just conscious of, I wanted them to know their history, but I also wanted to frame it up in a way that would be useful to them and not be a source of pain in a certain kind of way. It's very interesting because what happened is that when they finally got really clear about who I was, just through a whole series of interactions they had, like my daughter was in a program and she said, well, my grandfather's Veronica Bowers. And this person went, oh, my God, you're kidding. Veronica Bowers is your grandfather? I studied him in college, right? And my daughter went to a program at Wellesley this year, and she met Angela Davis, right? And Angela Davis knew my father and knew her, knew of me, you know. And so it was just sort of interesting. But if you think about the 10-point plan, and you can Google this, the 10-point plan that the Black Panthers had, what they really wanted was not anything that different than today. So they wanted freedom to determine the destiny of Black and oppressed communities. They want full employment. They wanted an end to the robbery by the capitalists of our Black and oppressed communities. They want decent housing for human beings, decent education, free health care for all Black and oppressed people. They wanted an immediate end to the brutality, police brutality and murder of Black people. They wanted an immediate end to all wars of aggression that existed around the world. They wanted freedom for Black and oppressed people held in prisons, right, and jury by trial of peers. And they wanted land, bread, housing, education, justice, peace, and people's community control of modern technology. So I don't know that anything that's on that list is much different than what people are struggling for today.
Right, right, right. Because it's real simple, right? I mean, we don't even have to, I mean, even though it's done, we don't really have to study freedom. You know, we can all individually ask, what do you want for your family? What do you want for your children? How would you want them to live? And people connect with their heart. They just connect from their head and getting theorizing about it. But for your family members that you love, that you care about, what's the best that you want from them? And if we can think of that, then we can want that for everybody else. Because really, if you say, well, it's just about me and my family, guess what? Your family is going to interact with other people. And if they're in bondage, it's going to spill over. It's going to spill over. Let's talk about your rites of passage. Now, you've been talking about your mother and you know, but you had a major experience, what I would call a rites of passage. At the age of 18, I don't know how you would call it, maybe identity crisis or life crisis.
It was an identity crisis, absolutely.
You said,
absolutely.
What the flip? You didn't quite say flip. What? Wait, hold on a minute.
You mean, tell us about the story. Babe, I'll let you tell the story.
Yeah, well, we talked earlier about identity. And so, you know, the issues of freedom and identity have been sort of the real themes in my life, right? Freedom and identity. Who am I? Am I the child of a Black Panther? Like, who am I? And so my mother that raised me is white. And even though, interestingly enough, during the days of the Black Panther movement, because of all of the flack that black men got from dating white women, she often tried to pass as black, right? Mm-hmm. Which is sort of a counter, sort of an unusual inverse of what's been typical. Many people in the black community tried to pass for white if they could, just so that they could, prevent themselves from the onslaught that came with being black, you know, from the powers that be. And so, my mom that raised me is white. And, you know, when I got to be 18, I was probably a bit of a handful. I'd gone through a lot as a child. I'd been in, kind of in survival, even though we, you know, we lived a fairly, you know, normal life. And one day, you know, I was a little knucklehead kid, and I said, you know, if you don't care about me, then you shouldn't have had me. You shouldn't have given birth to me. She said, I didn't. I'm not your biological mother. Mm. And so in that moment, sort of everything, you know, that I thought I was and, you know, knew myself to be sort of fell away and came into, you know, this great contrast. So it turns out that I had a biological mother who was African-American, who lived back in Omaha, Nebraska, which is where I'm from originally, and that was actually my biological mother, and that my mother that raised me, my stepmother really, you know, she kind of held a secret for many, many years that I wasn't her biological child. And she had her reasons for doing that. I mean, you have to remember that we came into, when, you know, after my dad went to prison, we'd had all these death threats and we had to relocate and all of the trauma that we'd gone through. She just didn't want one more thing that might traumatize me. And I think it got more difficult as I got older to then say, you know, just to reveal this truth. But she did that day. It sent me into a bit of an identity crisis because I began to ask, you know, what is mother? Is mother the person that gave birth to you or is mother the person that raised you? You know, what does it mean that I'm not biracial, that I'm actually fully African-American? What does that mean in terms of identity? So in that moment, you know, and I found my biological mother and I met her and she and I have a relationship to this day. But having to answer a lot of very deep questions about identity sort of put me on this question about identity. And who do you think you are? Like, who do you think you are? And what does that mean about how you show up in your life? Does it matter who raised you? Does it matter? But I had to do a lot of soul searching around these sort of deeper questions. So it really... the quest for identity. I think a lot of people have a lot of assumptions about their identity because they know who their parents are biologically. They know, right, all of that. And so when you have to kind of go back and unravel that and unravel all of those things, then it puts you into a deeper quest to understand what identity means. Today, you know, I'm very clear about who I am. I had to literally go back and deconstruct anything that wasn't true. In other words, when you go into a deep process about that, you know, through the work that I do with coaching and hypnosis, and I literally go in and have done a lot of work with folks and done a lot of work on my own process to really clear away the parts that aren't true. You know, the parts, just because I think when we clear away enough untruth in our identity, we actually, you know, are left with being a child of God. And but without that lens, without that heavy filter of who you think you are, I'm so-and-so's daughter, I'm so-and-so's this, or I'm the daughter of a Panther. Like, it's like you come to a connection with yourself that is really pure and eternal, and you can create real miracles out of that, I find. So it was in the deconstruction of those disempowering parts of my identity, the deconstruction of those, that actually gave me the power to create at the level that I create today, whether it's businesses or educating my kids brilliantly or serving other people. It's like it's been in all that deconstruction that I have found the most power, most personal power.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. When we talk about deconstruction,
What kind of answers? What were you able to tell yourself? What did you find when you ask questions? What does it mean to be a mother? What does it mean to be biracial? Or, well, I'm actually not, but I thought I was. What kind of answers did you come up with for yourself?
I'll put this in the context of sort of the work, right? Which is, we often have a traumatic event that happens in our early lives that forms our identity. So for a lot of Black people, it's like the first time they found out what it means to be Black and all of the pain and struggle and suffering that our community has suffered and the racism that we've experienced. I mean, that can be a very traumatic moment. And we become identified with that. And then we tend to filter our experiences through the lens of that identification. So, you know, initially, the I'm not your mother was traumatic. What does it mean about me? Does that mean that I'm not lovable? Does that mean that I wasn't wanted? Does that mean that I'm not valuable? I mean, when you're an adopted child, you go through all of that. You have to go into that question, like, why wasn't I good enough to keep, right? Mm-hmm. And so if we become identified with that as a traumatic moment, we call it the gestalt, but the gestalt event oftentimes that forms a limiting belief, and then we tend to filter and collect evidence for that belief. Mm-hmm. So if I hadn't done the work, I would say, oh my God, because I wasn't adopted, or because I wasn't, my mother didn't keep me, that means I'm not valuable. And if I hadn't gone in and done the work and sort of unwound it, then I might go proceed through life, well, I'm not valuable, and collecting evidence for I'm not valuable. Does that make sense?
Yes,
so
it does.
We can do that. So a lot of the work that I do really has to do with going back and unwinding those gestalt moments for people so that they can actually not be operating from those limiting beliefs. Mm-hmm. Right? So for example, if a young girl told that she's not pretty, right, and she experiences that moment with a great deal of intensity and becomes identified with being ugly, then even though she might have other feedback and other evidence in the world that says, you're pretty, she'll filter that out and only filter in what she believes. So it's very important that we go back and we actually go to the root cause of any of these beliefs, and we actually reprogram them so that we can operate in real freedom. And I worked with a CEO once, and she was a CEO, the sister of a $55 million company, and she had a limiting belief, but she didn't have enough time. And I did a process with her that took her back into her mother's womb, right? I hypnotized her on the phone. She went back for the first time. She decided she didn't have enough time. She remembered being in her mom's tummy and there being a lot of energy and pressure around not having enough time. And, she's not a woo-woo person. I mean, she's, the CEO of a $55 million company. But oftentimes babies, when they're sitting and marinating in their mom's tummies, all the energies and stress and pressures and emotions actually transmit subconsciously to that baby, right? Mm-hmm. So we cleared that root cause event. She went back and ended up talking to her parents about that, and they were blown away that she knew, could know that she actually, that there was a lot of pressure around time, that they were having, there was a lot of stress in the environment around time, and she picked up on that, and she began to filter for that the rest of her life. And then once we changed that, then she changed her relationship with time. She's like, I have so much time now. Because we actually have to go back and undo it so that people could be freed up to believe the truth. So when I say I've gone back and deconstructed my own identity, it was really that. It was deconstructing all of the things that weren't true from all of those root cause events.
So much is going on in my head right now. But the first is what you're talking about. I have to go back. It's the story, as you tell your story, what you had to do is really about the statement, the unexamined life is not worth living. Because if we don't take the time to examine our lives and go back and say, why am I the way I am? Who am I? What is my identity? Why do I believe in this? Why don't I believe that? Why am I passionate about to get behind the person and really get to that? Then, you're just kind of, taking up space, and that's good because sometimes we just need extras and a movie set. But actors are the one we pay attention to. So if you want to be an actor in your own life, show up and go back.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
I have a question in the chat room, and the question was about she's not really adopted mother, your stepmother. They wanted
she's
to
my
know,
stepmother, technically, yes. She's technically my
right.
stepmother, yes.
Right. She was white, but they wanted to know, mm-hmm. how was she able to pass as black?
Because she's Greek, and she's sort of dark-complected, and she wore a big mm. Afro wig, and she was very tan, and I mean, I have pictures of her with, you know, sitting around in miniskirts and a pump guns and back in the party, and yeah, she, so she was tan, she was dark, she was Greek, you know, what she did, because it wasn't politically correct for Black Panther men to date white women. Was it considered politically correct?
You know, you talk about woo woo. Well, actually, there's so many places I want to go. I'm just going to see. I think of. Let's go woo woo a little bit, because the woo woo is really what's real, you know? Because the woo woo is what's real. I woo woo all you want, because the woo woo, when you start thinking about it, makes you go, wow, really? That's me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't help but think of the kind of soul, your dad's soul, to choose to embody, incarnate as who he is. Right now, as Veronica Veranza, back then, to go through the experience and fight against the oppressor and then marry a white woman, you know, to really say, you know, it's like all that comes with that, all he had to go through for your stepmother, and then you as a soul saying, I'm choosing those parents to go through because I'm ready to show up as freedom in action. You know, so it's like.
right.
And all the other spirit bodies will say, ooh, I don't think you want to do that. So, yeah, I can handle that, please. That's easy. Freedom in action. But when we now incarnate in a human body, we get all confused. Like, what just happened? And so as I listen to your story, I'm smiling here. It's like, wow. And if we all, at least those who are listening to the show, can take time to examine their lives, just to look at it, to observe it, to become aware, not to judge, not to criticize, to just see with your insight. We start to experience freedom in a different way. You said earlier about we'll recognize that we're a child of God. We're a child of the divine, that there's so much more, and we're so much more than the human incarnation. And we're here for a reason. We are here for a reason, and unless we say yes to that, we're really going to feel in bondage. Now, the other thing that you said, you were all up in my chi just a minute ago. I was telling my co-producer, I was like, oh, Lord, you talked about not enough time. I was like, get out my chi, you know, because that's one thing that I've been working through, this whole thing about time, not enough time. I'm in a group that we meet every Friday. I've shared that with them. About a week ago, I had an awareness, and I saw how the mindset of not enough time is keeping me under the whip that I got to do this, I got to do that, or I can't rest, I can't do this, I got to keep moving, I got to keep moving. And, you know, just in my own spiritual work, I got answers of some of the things I need to do to slow down, to cut down my schedule. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's part of it. But I know there's more. And when you talk about what we marinated in when we're inside our parent, our mother, and what's happening in the family, because we start to live that out. But we don't always talk about that. That kind of work that you talk about, do you work with people on the phone? That's for me.
I do. I work with people by phone. I work with people by phone, and I especially work with people around their business because I really help some people get a really amazing business results. And I do it with some of the woo-woo. In other words, oftentimes we don't understand that the results that we're getting day-to-day are a function of these limiting beliefs that we've had in our lives. So if we have beliefs about scarcity and not having enough money and not having enough time or – you know, I coached a team once that I helped them. They generated $5 million in 30 days just out of my coaching with them. But I had to work with them, you know, around sort of these limiting beliefs about not being supported or not being valued. And the minute that they shifted those at the root level, then they ended up producing amazing results in their business. So I take the inner game of business. I take people back to the real source of what happened, and the way they made the decision, and then I help them map that to sort of business results, financial results, impact results, and so it's been a real blessing to. And I also believe that Black business is one of the greatest vehicles that we're ever going to have to really make a difference and to really get things done in life. So, you know, I heard a statistic recently from my friend George Frazier, and he was talking about how There's 1.9 million black-owned businesses in the United States, and about and most of those are small businesses, like solopreneurs, people with small teams. If each of those businesses could hire one black person, we'd wipe out black unemployment. We'd wipe out black unemployment just from that, right? Just from every business being able to hire one black person. So we do have the power in our we have the power in, you know, in our community and inside of ourselves to actually change our condition, but we have to be thinking differently about all of this, right? And so it's one of the reasons I do the work with business owners, because I believe that really empowering business owners to go out and create their own economy so they're not be a sector of this economy is one of the most important things you can do. So I do work with business owners in that context, and people in career and all. I mean, I coach almost everything. I coach money stuff, I coach career stuff, I coach business stuff, but I love working with businesses because you can get such a tremendous amount of leverage with a business owner. If you go back and shift their core beliefs and shift their team, they can produce just sort of amazing, miraculous results. Mm-hmm. In the world.
Well, I may be calling you about it. It's not enough time, because that's something that, I mean, I have stories. No, I wouldn't say stories to back it up, but I've seen things in my life, how that, what brought me to this space. But I know there's something deeper. I haven't been able, my mom has made her transition, but I haven't asked my dad around time, that thing about time. But I also know that not only just knowing the information, it's important to do the process. To go deep.
It's important to do the process. So I'll offer to you and anyone else that would like to have a complimentary session with me about anything like this. They can go to veronicaconway.com/strategy. veronicaconway.com/strategy. And so I work with business owners and I help them go in and deconstruct that stuff really at the root level so that they can be freed up to create results in their business.
Yes, yes, yes.
So that's what they're for.
The beautiful, powerful soul you're listening to, this woman who came here and said, "I am freedom in action." Her name is Veronica Conway, as you just found out. She said, "Freedom, easy piece of cake. I can do it." Bullets raining through the walls. Oh, please, I'm not scared. I'll never die. I'll never born. Bring it on. Not knowing my biological mother, I can handle that. Come on, God, put me. I'm next in line for a miracle. God said, "You sure?" She said, "I got this."
Well, you know, it's really interesting because it's a really interesting thing that happens when people have gone through a lot and they have taken the time to do the work and the process. The amount, it's like releasing steam. It's like the heaviness of the lid that was in their lives, right? Whatever the oppression was, or the internalized oppression, or the heaviness. The heavier it is, the more, once you transform it, the more power there is available to you on the other side.
So
I feel like the level of sort of pressure and oppression that I experienced, when I transformed it into steam, into sort of, right, it went to work on my behalf. So I began to manifest big things in life, big business stuff, big client stuff, big, you know, education of my kids. Because it was potent. In other words, the oppression was potent, and then when the oppression got transformed, it became really potent. So there's a lot of power on the other side of when you transform something in that way, when you transmute it in that way.
Indeed, because they become the metaphysical wood, if you will, that you get to put in the flame of your passion so that you can burn bright so people can see your light. You know, the idea of shine your light. There is a consequence for shining your light. You got to bring all your stuff to burn in order to shine your light.
That's
you can't just
right.
look good. You got to bring all the stuff. I'm talking about your mess. So when you bring your mess out and you're willing to look at it and you can catch the message, then you can be the messenger. So, you know, it's deep work, and you must be willing. And if not, you're just good to come back and do it all over again. So don't, no rush. No rush. The universe has time. The universe is time. But
absolutely.
I want to ask you this before we let you go, because there's this thing of, you know, we've been part of what we're talking about is identity, what it means to be black in America, and the history of America, Black History Month. And for those of you who are just joining us, you're listening to the Ask Life Coach Ida radio show. And I know you're thinking, oh, my God, where have I been? Where's the show? I didn't know anything about this show. Oh, my God. Well, we're here Monday to Wednesday, 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern. So because you really haven't lived until you listen to the show once or twice. So keep coming back. And the show is archived. If you just joined us, you can always go back to the beginning. Yeah, and subscribe on iTunes. But let's talk about this. So much is coming up for me around identity. You get people debating what it means to be black. And, Africans from the, who weren't born in this country, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to kind of put it all together when we talk about identity and what it means to be black. Even the conversation about Black History Month, African History Month, and we need to move beyond that. How do we not so much transcend the black, because that's not what I really am saying. How do we go about embracing the societal conditioning of black, African American, or whatever we want to call ourselves, as well as the opportunity to understand who we really are and not be bound by just society's definition of ourselves.
Right, definition of us. Well, I'm glad you asked that, and I want to send people to a resource of the Black Paper, which I've written about this. I'm actually about to release the Black Paper on Kindle. But if you go to theblackpaper.com, that's theblackpaper.com, you can sign up and get the Black Paper, the current one, and then I'll give you an update about when I release it on Kindle. I'm going to make that a very interactive book on Kindle. But I talk about it there. So to answer your question, it's really about de-identifying with the parts of us that are not true, that we've been conditioned, that we've been told about what it means to be black. If you look at the word black in the dictionary, it has a lot of negative subconnotations. And so we identify with that, and we adopt that as sort of an identity, that being black means fill in the blank, whatever the society's told us. So we have to sort of deal with the internalized oppression and the internalized racism. In other words, there's a story that's handed down to us by the dominant culture, and that's been global. That's been a function of colonialism globally. It may have played out differently here in America because the last 400 years were such a intense crucible of conditioning for our community that it played out here differently. But the truth is that in a world where we've been colonized by the dominant culture globally and had our stuff taken from us. the truth is that there we have some work to do internally as people of African descent in the diaspora. We have some internal work to do. In other words, there is a way to deconstruct the disempowering meanings about what it means to be black and to step only into the empowering meaning so that you have enough perspective to be the creator that you're meant to be. And so I think we have a unique opportunity at this day and time to shift our internal conversation so deeply that our external reality we become unstoppable in our external reality. And so that's the body of work that I've built, and that's what I invite you to step into with me. You can do it at theblackpaper.com, and I talk about the whole process of how we've gotten conditioned. But most importantly, when I talk about what the Kindle is going to do, it's going to give you some visualizations and some processes for deconstructing that conditioning so that we can really retain our place and regain our place, our rightful place on the world stage. So I invite you to come and join me in that movement.
Indeed. So how do you define identity?
To me, it's about being a child of God. It really is about being God, God Himself and herself, and it's understanding and realizing and coming into a communion with that. And the only thing that prevents us from being in communion with that is sort of the stories that we've collected in our lifetimes about who we are and about who we're not. And the minute we can sort of bust those stories and we come back into alignment, we come back into that communion. So that's what I believe we are. They say, if we're a master, right, we're an original copy. What's a master? The word term master can apply to people, it can apply to things. But a master is a copy. It's a copy of the creator, a copy of the creation. So we are an original copy, right, of the creator with all of the things that go along with that, all the power that goes along with that.
So true, so real, and it's not true until it becomes a way of life. So we can all be inspired by conversations, by books, by radio shows, TV shows, or whatever it is, or listen to somebody else, but we all must do the work. Or if all doesn't do it, you do it, because the fact that you do the work, then everybody benefits, and that's what Veronica is sharing with us. Veronica, my sister, anything else you want to share before we release you? Maybe something you're doing that you want listeners to know about, or whatever you want to share that I didn't ask you about.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, no, I'm on a mission. I'm excited about the black paper on Kindle. It's going to be a book that also talks about our condition and our conditioning, but it also gives transformative visualizations that you can actually do that shift your mindset on the spot. I'm really looking forward to that. So, and you know, I'm looking for folks that want to step up and build big businesses, really build empires, because I'm really, that's my sweet spot. I'm great with the empire makers, in terms of supporting them to really shift their game, so they can, you know, work harder, faster, bigger. So I love you. I love the show. I love the show. I love Celeste, and I thank you and honor you for creating this space. Where transformation can really occur for people. I honor you. I know what it takes to do this day after day and to put the signal out into the universe. And so I honor you for doing that.
Thank you. But you know, well, no, it's not a bot, because I just caught something and I must ask you. My mind goes, well, you're wrapping up the show, but my soul said, and your point. So I'm going to ask you this. Because this is very important. It just came up for me while you were talking. You know, we've talked about doing the work. As black people, we've got to do the work. But I want to ask you real quickly, what must we do collectively? Because sometimes this whole thing about black history, people say, why can't we History Month? You know, that black and forth. You know, people get scared, they go black and forth. You know, there's this thing about sometimes the word black brings up all kind of emotional response. What must we do? What can we do collectively to heal the hidden pain that we sometimes want to run away from?
Well, we have to first, and I really do look at this as a very holistic approach. We have to first get ourselves straight, because as long as we have disempowering identity around what it means to be black, then we won't treat our brothers and sisters well. We'll diss them, gossip about them, hate on them, you know, the crabs in the barrel syndrome. So we got to fall in love with ourselves first, and then as we do that, we fall more in love with our brothers and sisters as a reflection of our love for ourselves, right? And then it's about coming together in community to make change, to cause change. So there's so many things that we can do to cause change. It's like I said, if every black entrepreneur in the country hired one black person, would eradicate black unemployment. Like, for example, I'm a part of a team that's doing a black cash mob day nationally next May, right? And so we're going to cash mob black businesses and go in and spend money with them so that we can show the power of the black dollar. You know, there's just so many things that we can do collectively in terms of organizing ourselves and mobilizing ourselves towards a common vision, you know, real outcomes. It's like, you know, Obama had a real outcome when he wanted to get elected. He was clear about that vision, and he built the team, and then he moved towards it. But we have to trust and love each other enough to have common vision and march toward common outcomes, but we have to get over that stuff that we have about each other, about our stuff being inferior, and we have to funnel our economic resources back into our community and quit spending all of our money, our 700 or our trillion-dollar economy, you know, outside of our community. I mean, we have to begin to take conscious steps to take care of our own and to meet our own and to love our own, but I think that first begins with having a really deep sense of love of self.
Mm-hmm, And because I love myself, I can end an interview and ask another question. Because it's my stuff. I run this, you know. I can do it the way I want to do it. I love myself so much, and I love you, girl. I thought
love
it finished,
you
well. I thought I did, too. Have a great day.
You too.
Oh,
thank you so much.
Thank you. You're very welcome. Life is good. It's getting better. Life is good when you know who you are. Life is good when you commit to knowing who you are. Life is good when you start to understand that you're here for something bigger. And all the challenges that you've gone through, that you're going through, is part of the process. You know, it's the perfect ingredient to help you tap into the soulful essence of who you are. So when you show up, people like, that's the best soul food I've ever had. You know, you can tell people ain't got soul in their conversation, in their energy. They show up like, I like what they said, but, you know, it just seems kind of heady to me. I don't know. That made me feel uncomfortable. You know, are you one of those people that make people feel uncomfortable? Maybe you make your own self feel uncomfortable. Well, it's about tapping into the essence, embracing your presence. Understand that there is something that predates the you that you see in the mirror. It's called presence, the pre-essence that is you. And there's always a platform to allow your story to liberate others. It's not about denial, it's about looking. You know, I often use a description of a paramedic. I don't know why, but can you imagine a paramedic saying, getting to a scene of an accident, saying, people just need, you know, standing there, people are injured, and they say, people just need to slow down. Oh, my God, this would never happen. That's because people don't know how to, they don't know slow down in the rain. No, a paramedic gets there and gets the job done. So we're all paramedics in this big scheme of life. We're here to support each other in healing, whichever way you do it. And you've got to do your work, especially those of us who are so-called in the forefront, and supporting people, educating people. Do your work or you will burn your out. You will burn your ass out. And then you're no good to yourself or anybody else. And not only that, if you don't do your work and you want to save everybody else, you actually become a detriment. You got to look back. Sankofa. We say Sankofa, but it's actually Sankofa. You got to look back and look at the pieces. Look back and get to see. Ultimately, at the end of the day, we are one. We are one. And don't even think about reincarnation. Maybe. Don't want to go here? You're damn right I want to go here. Maybe right now, as a black person, maybe you used to be a white slave owner. Oh, hell no. I was never. How do you know? Maybe as a white person. Maybe used to be black. And right now, you just kind of hated that experience. You say, I don't want nothing to do with black folks. Maybe you used to be a woman. Maybe you used to be a man. Maybe you was a leader of a country. Yeah. The woo-woo stuff will help you chill out, you know. It's not that deep. God. Life is really simple. People make it complicated. We'll be right back after this.
Do you see your eyes when you look at me? Do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? Well, I know now that we are one. When I'm hurting you, I am hurting me. When I'm loving you, I am loving me. I know now that we are one. 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 Cause there is no separation. Cause we are one. When I'm judging you, I am judging me.
When I'm praising you, I am praising me. I know now that we are one. When I'm fearing you, I'm afraid of me. When I see God in you, I see God in me. I know now that we are one. 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 Well, there is no separation, 'cause we are one. Now do you see your eyes when you look at me? Now do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? I'm hoping that you know that we are one. 'Cause there is no separation, 'cause we are one.
And that's how you move from revolution to evolution. You gotta evolve. As a soul, you're here to evolve. And guess what? The best students get the hardest lesson. The best students get the hardest lesson. So stop asking why me, and start declaring, why not me? That's because you can handle it. I am so grateful. Continue to celebrate what is great about you. Continue to celebrate the differences. Continue to celebrate what is great about humanity. And whatever is triggered for you, honor it, recognize it, embrace it, love it, and speak your truth. And you also want to ask yourself, do I want to be right? Or do I want to be happy? Being right will keep you stuck. Being happy will set you free. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. Tomorrow we have Carl Studman. Studner. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that name right. Okay, never mind. I'll just get it right before tomorrow. And if not, Carl will correct me. We all make mistakes. It's okay. We're talking about click. Choosing love one frame at a time so we can heal each other. We are one. Carly Jackson. Thank you, Carly. You can find Carly on Facebook. Carly Jackson. CARLLIE. Jackson. JAXEN. And we are going to release the show with Valerie Joy, Set Me Free. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. Be love. Be true to yourself. And be loved. Don't just put it out there. Allow it to come back. But the truth is, you only get to keep what you give away. So whatever you're giving away, guess what? You're going to get more of it back. You get to choose. Valerie Joy. Set me free. ValerieJoy.com. ValerieJOI.com. Set me free. I want to know you. I want to know myself because I want to evolve. Thank you. Set me free. I'm setting myself free. I will see you tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern, on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Talk to me. I'm right here.
Talk to me. Hear my plea. Set me free, oh Lord, set me free. I'm overwhelmed by all that I see, by all of the tears flooding through me. I want to know. Fill me with your grace so that I
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.